In the book of Matthew, get my glasses on here, chapter number 27, the Bible said now in verse 45, the Bible said, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. So you've got about 3 hours of total darkness. God put the lights out. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, they said, this man calleth for Elias. Straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar, put it on a reed, and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be, or leave him alone. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice. If you do a little bit of studying, this is actually miraculous. It's actually a proof text. Jesus said, they don't take my life from me. He said, I have the power to lay it down. And I have the power to take it up again. You say, preacher, why is this important that he cried with a loud voice? Because men that died in crucifixion did not have enough strength right before they died to cry with a loud voice. They barely had enough strength the last time that they pushed up to get just part of a breath. But here, the Son of God, He's not going out in their time. He's going out in His time. And with a loud voice, He cried and He gave up, yielded up the ghost. Behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened. Many bodies of the saints which slept arose, came out of the graves after His resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Let's pray, and I want to continue in a series of messages that I'm preaching entitled, Knocking Holes in the Darkness. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for our people that have gathered here today. I know, Lord, some of our people are traveling. Some are meeting with families and have very heavy hearts this morning. God, it's our prayer that You'll lift them up. God, that You'll save those, Lord, in the family that don't yet know Christ. God, I pray this morning, our Father, that You would, Lord, help us to center our attention, Lord, on the Word of God. And God, that we would glean something this morning that would be a blessing and be a help to us here in this service. Lord, we love You this morning. It's all because You first loved us. Thank You, God, that we've been able to have a wonderful Sunday school hour and hear the wonderful singing. God, I pray You'll bless the preaching now, Thy Word. And God, we'll give You glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. We looked, I think last Sunday morning we began looking at knocking holes in the darkness. I told you the story that I read by Robert Louis Stevenson of a little boy that was looking out a window and men were coming down the street back in the days before electricity. They were climbing up a ladder and lighting the street lantern. And then they would move the ladder down the street and climb up and light another lantern. And a man walked up to the little boy and he said, son, he said, what are they doing? And the little boy said, they're knocking holes in the darkness. And we began last Sunday morning talking about how that God knocked holes in the darkness to reveal the Creator. We talked about the stars and the sun and the moon. We talked about the Word of God that He gave us, all to reveal the Creator. And then last Sunday night we began talking about how that God knocked holes in the darkness to redeem the creature. Brother Eddie, you used the word creature in Sunday school several times. A new creature in Christ Jesus. That's what we are when we're born again. Behold, old things are passed away and all things are become new. I believe with all of my heart that God wanted to knock holes in the darkness at His birth to redeem the creature. I believe that God wanted to knock holes in the darkness in His life to redeem the creature. And today we're visiting a place called Calvary. It's called Golgotha in the Scripture, or the place of the skull. Before I get started in the message, I feel led of the Lord to stop and share a story with you. Where's Warner? Is he back there? Hey, Warner, raise your hand up there, buddy, and wave at preacher. Will you stand up on the pew? It's legal here. If it ain't, they'd have done fired me. Amen. Wave at him. Amen. That's Warner. That's my buddy. I want to tell you a story that Warner told me this morning. He was at his home last week and he told his dad, he flipped the light switch off and he said, I made the darkness. And he's got him a little old Batman car. And his Batman car's got a light on it, Brother Gary. And he told his dad, he flipped the switch and the light come on. He said, I made a hole in the darkness. How old is Warner, brother? He's 4. Glory to God, I hope somebody else took it home with you last week. Amen. I hope somebody else took the message home and could say, hey, Lord, help me to make a hole in that darkness. Amen. Oh, beloved, I believe with all of my heart, that Batman car probably didn't have a whole lot of light. But I guarantee you in that dark room, it made a lot of difference. Amen. You and I are living in a dark world. But thank God we can knock a hole in the darkness. I want to look here at Calvary this morning for just a few minutes. And I don't know exactly how it's going to go, but I just, or where we'll end up this morning. But I want to look here just a minute at how our Lord knocked a hole in the darkness. Let me say this to you. It was God in heaven that made it dark. Say amen right there. Listen to me carefully, church. We'll be so depressed that we can't hold our head up if we ever forget that as dark as it is in this world, God is still on the throne. And God has already prophesied that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So don't, you know, we live in a dark world, but don't let the darkness get in you. Amen. I want you to understand this morning that God showed me something that I've never seen before as I read this about Calvary, as I was preparing to preach this message. And that is this. I knew that God turned the lights out. Amen. But guess what? God turned them back on. After 3 hours, the Word of God said that, my friend, that darkness was over. They were able to see the Lord. They were able to offer Him the vinegar. And they were able to hear Him as He, my friend, cried after the darkness had passed. But let me give you something right here. I believe this will be a blessing. This is what I believe. I believe according to Isaiah chapter number 53, the Bible said, He, God, shall see of the travail of His, Jesus' soul, and shall be satisfied. He said, preacher, what happened? I tell you what happened. God turned the lights out. I tell you what happened. The Son of God bore our sin in His body on the tree. He made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. But when God saw that the price was paid, He turned the lights back on and said, I'm satisfied. You know why people are going to get in trouble when they stand before God? Because they're dependent on church membership to satisfy. Because they're dependent on water baptism to satisfy. because they're dependent on giving a little money to satisfy. I'll tell you, there's not but one thing that satisfies the righteous demand of a holy God, and that was the blood that was shed on Calvary's tree. And that's the only thing that'll knock a hole in the darkness in a sinner's life. Nothing else will do. Nothing. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I just want to stop and say with the songwriter, oh, precious is the flow. It's precious. We've not been redeemed with the blood of bulls and goats, but with the precious blood of Christ. As of a lamb without spot and without blemish. This morning, you say, preacher, what happened in His birth? God knocked a hole in the darkness. What happened in His life? Over and over and over and over and over again, God knocked a hole in the darkness. What happened in His death? Oh, thanks be to God. It was dark. I believe darker than it's ever been. But God knocked a hole in the darkness. So you and I could be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm going to tell you something right now. Every one of us, their families right now facing trying times. A man told me a week or so back, he said, preacher, you've come into our family's life in a trying time. He said, but I'm glad God brought you into our lives. Let me tell you something right now. The trials are coming. The dark days are coming. Amen. What I want to encourage you to do, church, is pick them up and carry them dark days. Carry that heavy heart. Carry it over there to the foot of an old rugged cross. And I tell you, God will help you right there. Amen. God will help you. God will help you. The Bible said over there in verse number 6 of Colossians chapter 4, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I tell you, God commanded the light in the book of Genesis and chapter number 1 and verse number 3. But right there at Calvary, God commanded the light again. And the lights came back on. Amen. And God said, the reason I did it is because I wanted that light to shine out of that darkness, that it might shine into our darkness. Amen. Thank God for a Savior that was willing to pay the ultimate price. I believe with all of my heart. Sometimes, Brother Joe, I was talking to you a while ago. You're one of them what I call old timers. And I like them. When Brother Joe gets up to sing, you know what I'm convinced of? I'm convinced that he ain't got over being saved by the grace of God. I'm convinced that he ain't got over Calvary. I'm convinced, amen, that he's somebody going somewhere, amen, because Jesus died for our sin. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? If we're not careful, we'll get over it. If we're not careful, we'll begin to think we just belong in a place like this. No, we don't. It's by the grace of God we're here. We'll just begin to think, oh, we ought to have plenty to eat. We ought to have our nice home. I tell you, sometimes I get aggravated. I'm mowing the grass. Amen. My lawnmower wheel will fall off in one of them little holes. And oh, I tell you, it just don't feel good. Amen. And then in just a minute, after I get aggravated just a little bit, I begin to think, I could be pushing it. Yeah. Say amen. I could have to put up with a bunch of goats. Y'all know what they smell like, don't you? Amen. Yeah. I just begin to thank God. I got a riding mower. Amen. Yeah. And I praise the Lord that He can help us even in our dark moments if we'll just look to Him. coming down the road is Jesus, right on time. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, I believe with all of my heart, the Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you, watch this, out of darkness, out of darkness. God didn't call us in the darkness. God called us out of the darkness into His marvelous light. You may be here this morning. You may be lost without God. Still walking in darkness. Can I tell you something? I wouldn't encourage you to do one thing except come to Jesus. If you're going to be saved, you're going to have to come to Jesus. Just as I am without one plea. That's how God receives sinners. Amen. They just come to Jesus. And Jesus loves you. And Jesus will forgive you. And Jesus will save you just like you are. But let me tell you something. Jesus loves you way too much to leave you just like you are. When you come to Jesus, He begins to work in your life and in your heart. And I tell you what's the truth. There's nothing like having the Lord, amen, call you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And God comes along in that sinner's life and just knocks a hole in the darkness. Guess what? If you've been saved very long, and you've been walking with God, how many's done figured out, even after you get saved, there's a battle going on with the darkness. Somebody say amen right there. How many's ever had the darkness to win a battle or two in your life? Say amen. In your thought processes or in your actions or in what you say. I tell you this right now, even after we get saved, our God, because of Calvary, because of the blood, the Bible said if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. You say, how can He be faithful and just? I tell you why. Because there's the blood that's been applied on a mercy seat in glory. The Bible, I read it in your hearing a while ago. The Bible said when He died and God turned the lights out, God turned the lights back on, the veil in the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. And now we have access into the holiest of all. You say, what difference does that make? I'll tell you what difference it makes. It makes a difference in walking in the light and walking in darkness. Say amen. The only way we can, when we get out of sorts, when we get out of tune, when we get out of fellowship with God, the only way we can get back is that same mercy seat. Amen. Going to that same God that saved us. For forgiveness at Calvary, God knocked a hole in the darkness. I don't know about you, but I praise His holy name. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. I thank God for the cross. The Apostle Paul said it like this. He said, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. He says, there's a divider between me and this whole world. What's the divider, preacher? The cross of Calvary. Everybody in this room. Everybody in Kingsport. Everybody in Tennessee. Everybody in America, everybody in the world is on one side or the other. The cross is a divider of men. And it's the cross that knocked a hole in that darkness in my life. Let me give you one more thing this morning. Not only did God knock a hole in the darkness that He might redeem the creature at His birth, I've been meditating on that star all week. Amen. Keep that in mind for tonight. We're going to get back to another star. You'll see tonight. Amen. But I've been meditating on that star that led those wise men. Come and stood right over where that baby was at. Amen. God is still leading wise men. Say amen right there. Wise men are still seeking Jesus. Say amen right there. Time to follow Jesus. At His birth, in His life, at Calvary, God knocked a hole in the darkness. Let me give you this. Matthew 27 and verse 62. Now the next day, that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember that that deceiver said while he was yet alive." Boy, isn't it something when somebody calls Jesus a deceiver? He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's never deceived anybody. "While he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again." And then the Bible said, "Command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure unto the third day, lest the disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first." Pilate said unto them, "Ye have a watch. Go your way." I love the words of the King James Bible right here. He said, "Make it as sure as you can." It's almost like there was a measure of doubt in that statement. Amen. He didn't say, "Make it sure." He said, "Just make it as sure as you can. Make sure. Make sure that them disciples don't come and steal his body away and begin to tell something like he's rose from the dead." And so they went and they made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Now I want to ask you a question. Whenever you roll, I've been over there. And guess what? I've never found a window in a tomb. I've been over there. I know what it did. The way that there was a little track formed and a great old big rock hewn. It was kind of like flat this way, but round this way. And the way you got into the tomb was you rolled the stone away. Amen? Or when you buried somebody, you rolled the stone over and then you put some stuff around the stone and sealed it. In other words, it was dark in there. There wasn't no window. There wasn't no light. But the light of the world was laying in that tomb. You say, "Preacher, what happened? What happened to that tomb?" I'll tell you what happened. It was dark for 3 days and 3 nights. The devil thought he had him. His imps thought they had him. But I'll tell you, my God rolled the stone away and the light shined in the darkness. And God knocked a hole in the darkness at that tomb. I don't know about you. I didn't hear this till several years ago. But it makes sense. I mean, you just think about it. Man, you got to roll that stone away to let him out. But that's not what happened. You see, I done read that when he got this new glorified body, he didn't have to have anybody open the door for him. Say amen. I'm telling you, he could have stepped right through that tomb. Amen. Right through that rock. But no. It was not that they were rolling the stone away to let him out. But thank God Almighty, God wanted to roll it away to let us in that we might see he's risen. He's not here. I love these words in the resurrection. He's not here. He's risen. Listen to these three words. As he said. Just like he said. Just like he said, that's how he got up. Just like he said, that's how he was born. Just like he said, that's how he lived. Just like he said, that's how he died. And just like he said, that's how he got up. The third day, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. You say, "Preacher, how can you know? How can you know that when you die, heaven will be your home?" Well, because it's just like he said. Everything else he said was right. And when he said to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord, that's right too. Say amen. When the Bible said there's a heaven and the Bible said there's a hell, it's just like he said. So it's right. Amen. When the Bible said you must be born again, then you must be born again. Somebody asked an old preacher, said, "How come you're all time preaching on you must be born again?" He said, "Well, the best answer I can think of is you must be born again." Amen. That's how come preachers are preaching on it. Because in order to make heaven your home, you got to come the way He said. You got to be saved the way He said. And then you'll get up one day just like He said. Amen. Thank God He's not here. He's risen as He said. He came out as He said. The stone was rolled away so that we could see. I was in Israel. I'm done right here. I was in Israel years ago. How many years? Let's see. About 20 years ago. About 18 years ago. 1995. I had the privilege to go to Israel. And they had a tour guide. And we were standing there at the tomb. And this guide was telling, you know, that there are many things that indicate, many reasons to believe that this is the tomb where they laid the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Ron, I was standing there listening to that tour guide, and he was doing the best he could. But God the Holy Ghost was doing a little better than He did. And they was preachers on either side of me. And I was standing there, and all of a sudden, I just began to weep uncontrollably. One of them preachers nudged me and he said, "What's the matter, Brother Vinoy?" I looked at him, tears just running like a river. I said, "I'm glad. I said, I'm so glad that I didn't have to get on a plane or a ship and come all the way over here to know that that tomb is empty. When He saved me, oh, thank God. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. He knocked a hole in the darkness. Gave me resurrection life. I didn't have to get on a plane and fly over there. I tell you, I thank God. I stood there in the... This is the truth. This is the truth. We received communion in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we had communion cups that were made out of the olive tree, the olive wood. And I was one that had the privilege, Brother Rossi, to serve. There was probably 40 in our group. And I had one of the trays. And these cups were cut out, not with a machine, but they were cut out by hand. And so some of them were nicer than others. Some of them were bigger than others. And all the time that I was serving them, I'd have my eyes on that one. I said, "Boy, I hope that one's left when we get done." But Brother Johnny, there wasn't a pretty cup left. All of them bigger ones and prettier ones were gone. And this is the God's truth. The one I got, sister, had a crack in it. I don't know how in the world that the juice, brother, wasn't coming out of it. You could see the crack. And I stood there with that less than perfect cup. And God bless my soul. As I thought about how His body was broken, it wasn't perfect. Oh, yes, it was perfect when they hung Him there. But oh, it was broken when they finished with Him. I got back to the motel room. You all don't have to believe what I'm going to tell you. I got back to the motel room. I was staying with a teenage boy that went on the trip. I got back to the motel room and tried my best, sister, to show him the crack that was in the cup. I don't know how. I don't know what happened. But that cup was not cracked. You couldn't find it. Now you can explain it about the moisture. I don't care how you explain it. I just know I got me a blessing in the garden, and then I got back to the room and got me another blessing. And thank God my life was cracked. It was broken. But when the blood was poured in, God fixed it. And God will fix it for you too. Hallelujah. I'll tell you something right now. When they hung Him there, He wasn't much to look at. But when he come out of that tomb, Brother David, he'd knock your eyeballs out. Amen. And I tell you right now, we might not be much to look at. Man told me one time, he put his arm around me. He said, "You know, preacher," he said, "you're ugly." And I said, "Well, yeah, I kind of figured that a long time ago, amen." I said, "Will you do me a favor?" He said, "What's that, preacher?" I said, "Would you come and see me in my new home?" I said, "'Cause I'm going to be just like Jesus." Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Knocking holes in the darkness. In his life, in his birth, in his death. Thank God at the tomb. Here he comes again. Sister Hannah, right on time. Before the foundation of the world, God knew when he would yield up the ghost. And before the foundation of the world, God knew on that Sunday morning, say amen. Y'all still believe that, don't you? On the first day of the week, he rose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. Why? That we might have a living Savior. That's what makes Christianity different than every other religion in the world. You see, all them other Saviors, you can find their bones. But you can't find our Savior's bones. He got up. He got up. And because he got up, one day, my children, if it goes the way it does by nature, my children will have to lay Daddy down somewhere. But guess what? Daddy's getting up. God got up, and Daddy's getting up. If you had to die today, would you get up? Would you be like Lazarus? Would you be carried? Or would you be like the rich man? Would you be buried? That's something to think about, ain't it? Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you today for the privilege to preach the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, that the light shined in darkness and the darkness comprehended it not. Thank you, Lord, for knocking holes in the darkness. Thank you, God, for our church. Thank you, Lord, that you're helping us. We give you the glory, Lord. God, I pray this morning that there's a soul here walking in darkness. God, that this might be the day that they would come out of darkness into that marvelous light. God, I ask you in the name of Jesus to please speak to hearts today.